Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to MSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at MSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll begin our study of Esther with the Feast of Ahasuerus, as we pick up in Esther, chapter 1, verse 1. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
The events in the book of Esther cover a period of about 12 years, and it is a fascinating book. It gives to us the historic setting for a Jewish feast called the Feast of Purim. It's celebrated in the 12th month of the Jewish calendar, which is equivalent to the March of our calendar. And to the present time, over in Israel in the month of March, they still celebrate Purim, much different, I'm sure, than they did originally. Purim has become sort of the Jewish equivalent to our Halloween, in that all of the children dress in costumes for the Feast of Purim. They have a special cookie that they bake called the Hamantash, which has sort of the shape of an ear, and it has a poppy seed filling in it, a delicious cookie, but they are called Haman's Ear, and the little boys, villains, dress up as Haman, and of course the girls dress up as Esther, and it is quite a sight to see the children over in Israel during the Feast of Purim and their celebrations of this particular period of history when God in His providence spared them extermination from this descendant of Agag, the Amalek. And so the interesting thing about the book of Esther is even though the word God is not mentioned in the book of Esther, His handprint is seen through the whole book. We can see how that God is preparing in advance for what He knows is coming. The purposes of God are fascinating because God is always in that work of preparation for the future. Our problem is that we don't know what the future holds, and thus we don't understand the work of God that is happening in our lives at many different junctures of life. And we are prone to judge the entire story by one bad chapter, or what appears to us to be a bad chapter. And when things go wrong, there are disappointments and discouragement. We're prone to think that God has forsaken us, that God isn't concerned with us. And some people in this condition even begin to make foolish accusations against God. But when we see the full cycle, then we understand what God is doing. And we see how God was working all the while. And in the book of Esther, we have this interesting insight into backgrounds. Knowing the full story, it takes away a lot from the excitement and the intrigue of it. But we see that God is working far in advance, setting people in strategic places in order that he might, at that particular strategic moment in history, save the Jews from this attempted extermination. And we see how God's hand was working in the whole background. So the first three chapters is sort of setting the background for the stage. And it is just giving us some of the ways by which God was moving behind the scenes years in advance to fulfill his purposes in times to come. And as God works in our lives, sometimes the things that God is doing today are not really for today. They're for 5 years or 12 years down the road before we really see what God had in mind. And then we say, oh, can you beat that? Remember what happened to us? And, you know, wow, you know, and you see God's hand was there guiding and God was overseeing the whole program. And it's exciting then when the cycle comes around and we can look back and we can see the hand of God. So it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. Now this is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. The reign of Ahasuerus is thought to be the Xerxes of secular history. That in those days, when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace. Now Shushan was the winter palace for the Persian king. It is in a desert area. It gets much too hot to stay around there in the summer. And so it was the winter palace of the Persian monarchy. In the third year of his reign, so mark this, it's the third year of his reign that this particular incident took place. He made a feast unto his princes and his servants. And the power of Persia and Media, the nobles, the princes of the province were assembled before him. And when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty for many days, even 180 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto the great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. So nobles have been brought from the 127 provinces, the chief and notable people. And they had this great feast for 180 days as he displayed to them all of the glory, all of the wealth of the Persian Empire. And of course, according to Herodotus, the historian, it was one of the wealthiest of all early empires. And when Alexander the Great finally conquered Persia, he was an extremely wealthy man, for he conquered and took the wealth of this great empire. And so this feast lasted for 180 days. And after that, they had a 7-day continuation in which everybody participated. It was a general feast for all of the people. Palace was all decked out. There were white and green and blue hangings that were fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to the silver rings and the pillars of marble, and the beds were of gold and silver upon the pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. A floor of mosaics, beautiful marble mosaics, and all of these curtains that cordoned off different sections for the different groups. And they had plenty of booze. They gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse from each other. Royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. No one was compelled to drink or was compelled to stop drinking. So you could get just as soused as you wanted. For so the king had appointed to all of the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Drink all you want. Drink as little as you want. Also Vashti, who was the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. And on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman and Biztha and Harbona and Bigtha and Abagtha and Zethar and Carcass, the seven chamberlains, or the eunuchs, that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with a crown royal to show the beauty of the people and the princes her beauty, for she was beautiful to look on. Vashti, a very beautiful queen. The king is a little drunk, and he wants to show off her beauty. Now, in that culture, it wasn't proper for a woman to go out into public without her veil, without her coverings. What the king is asking her to do is just to come over and display her glorious beauty without her veil so that everyone can see the beauty of the queen. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore, the king was very angry, and his anger burned in him. It is sad when people drink and lose their sense of judgment. Oftentimes, a person will do things under the influence of alcohol that they would not normally do. The tragic thing is that it robs a person of natural inhibitions and of good judgment. And so many things that have been done under the influence of alcohol are later rude. A person is so sorry when they finally realize what they have actually done. And so the king, because of his being in a state of drunkenness, is angry. He's upset that she would not obey his command to come before him. Now, Persian kings were pretty high potentates, and they weren't used to people saying no to them. But Vashti had the courage to say no. And according to Josephus, these fellows came several times, and she insisted in not coming. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the time, for thus it was the king's manner toward all that knew the law and the judgment. He called the lawyers in. And next to him was Karshina and Zethar and Admatha and Tarshish and Meres and Marcina and Mimakon. And this is the guy we're interested in, Mimakon, because he's the one that came up with the right advice. And the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, and those which sat first in the kingdom. And he said, what shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law? Because she has not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by his eunuchs. What shall we do to her? What's the law in this case? And Mimakon answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all of the princes and to all of the people that are in all of the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen will come abroad unto all of the women, so that they will despise their husbands in their eyes. And when it shall be reported, and the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she didn't come. So he said, look, this is serious, man. Word gets out in the province of this. We go home and our wives hear that Vashti didn't come when you called. We're going to have a real revolt on our hands. Can't have this. We've got to do something drastic. This is serious. Likewise, all of the ladies of Persia and Media will say this day unto all of the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen, and thus shall they arise too much contempt and wrath. Man, we've got real trouble on our hands if she gets by. So if it please the king, let there go forth a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes that it might not be altered. We do know that the law of the Medes and the Persians could not be changed. Remember when Darius, it happened earlier in history, but we won't get it until later in Daniel. When King Darius had signed the decree that no one could pray to anybody but him for 30 days, and he sealed it with a signet ring, and the laws of the Medes and the Persians cannot be broken. The king, even himself, could not alter the law that he had made. And Daniel, being caught as a violator, the king did his best to deliver Daniel from the king's own edict. But he was bound by his own edict, for the laws of the Medes and the Persians were an edict of the king that was sealed with his ring, could not be broken. So here they say, make this commandment and seal it so that it cannot be altered. And it may be that they knew that the king was a little drunk and he loved Vashti, and it was well known, his love for her, so that they wanted to really seal this thing so he couldn't, you know, when he sobered up, change his mind about the whole thing. And that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all of his empire, for it is great, all of the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to the great and the small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house. The man rules the house. And that it should be published according to the language of every people. So throughout the 127 provinces, this decree went, written in each of the language groups, so that they would all understand that the man was the ruler of the house. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, sobered up, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. And evidently he was a little despondent over it at this point. And his servant saw that, he's getting lonely. And then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all of the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, in the custody of Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. So a Miss Universe contest, and all of the young virgins, the beautiful girls from throughout the kingdom, were brought into the area of Shushan, and they're placed under the charge of this eunuch, Hegai, and they were to go through a 12-month beautification course, 6 months with oils and 6 months with perfumes, and after that period of time, they would be brought in night by night, each night a new one to the king, until he found one that really pleased him, who would be then the queen in the place of Vashti. So now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away in Jeconiah, the king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. Now, Mordecai was probably himself not personally carried away captive, because that would mean that he would be about 120 years old at this point, which is not very practical. But the Benjamites were carried away, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin, of the family of Kish. And so of the family of Kish carried away in the captivity, his family was, and so he is of this tribe. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So she was a cousin to Mordecai, his uncle's daughter, and thus he raised her as his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hegai, the keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, that is Esther, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her all of the things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, the seven maidens, which were necessary to be given to her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place for the house of the women. But Esther did not show her nationality nor her family, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. So she did not reveal that Mordecai was her cousin. She did not reveal that she was a Jewess. Her cousin Mordecai had commanded her not to do it. And Mordecai every day paced in front of the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what would become of her.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the book of Esther in our next lesson, as we continue with more on the preparation of Esther. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study of Esther. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
I pray that God will bless you this week in a very special way, that your life will be guided by the Holy Spirit, that you'll have that sense of God's nearness and of God's presence, and especially of God's love. May He strengthen you as you walk in the midst of an evil and corrupt generation. May He keep your heart pure and holy towards Him. And thus, may you grow in your love and in your commitment to the things of God. In Jesus' name.
Since the original sin of Adam, God has been looking for a man that He can use to accomplish His purposes on this earth. The apostles were more than willing to be used by the Lord. What was it that gave them certain spiritual characteristics necessary to be used by God? Pastor Chuck's book entitled The Man God Uses examines the book of Acts. He reveals the secret of the apostles' boldness, the five essential components of prayer, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So if you've ever wanted to accomplish more for the kingdom of God, then I encourage you to pick up a copy of Pastor Chuck's book. Once again, it's called The Man God Uses. Now, for those of you that wish to call, our convenient toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. Once again, that's 1-800-272-WORD.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
If you would like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month, please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@insearch.com. That's GLENN at N as in Nancy, SEARCH.com, or contact him through msearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at msearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting InSearch Radio and our efforts reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.
Is there one thing that Israel really needs and all there is? Same need that you have, and that's to give glory unto the God of Israel. This is so important to understand. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Why? Because they're murderers? Because they're adulterers? Because they're lying? No. The Bible says all have sinned because they come short of the glory of God. You see, friends, we're not God, and neither do we glorify God. We glorify ourselves, and that's the root of the sin problem that leads to all kinds of tragedies. God's glory is very important. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is not a small subject. This is the heart and soul of what it is to be a believer.
In other words, vital stuff. David Hocking has more for us on this coming up next on Hope for Today. You're listening to Hope for Today, and this is the Bible teaching ministry of David Hocking. I'm Dave Dino. God is full of glory. Knowing that, even with all of the beautiful things in the world, they pale in the face of glory. And that's what the Bible teaches. So I got to tell you, I'm really excited to hear what David is going to begin teaching us today. He's back in our series, Israel, God, and the Bible, and he's sharing his message, Israel, and the glory of God. Stick around. Before we dive into that, though, make sure you check out David on hischannel.com. That's Internet TV. Because this week he'll be continuing through his series Great Prophecies of the Bible with an in-depth look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. He'll be sharing his message, Day of the Lord. We'd love to have you come and join us. So check it out, hischannel.com. Check out their schedule to see when you can catch David's teaching or when you can watch him in the video on demand section. Oh, by the way, while you're online, check out our website, davidhocking.org. You can read archived articles. You can find information on Hope for Today's resources. You'll get an updated calendar of David's speaking schedule. You can sign up for our weekly e-letter, HFT Connect, and there's a whole lot more. Check it all out at davidhocking.org. Now, David is ready, and he starts things off with a reminder of the message he's kicking off for us today. David?
I want to talk to you about Israel and the glory of God. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 145. Many people who follow the worship of Israel's songs and psalms say that chapter 145 is a testimony to the glory of our God. The very word glory appears 402 times in the Bible. That's in English. But we have a Hebrew word as well as a Greek word. You're probably familiar with the Greek word, doxa, from which we get the word doxology. You remember the doxology? A lot of churches used to sing it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. It's called the doxology. It means a study of glory, the glory and nature of God. The Hebrew word kabod is a word meaning weight. Back in the hippie culture of the 60s and 70s, they used to say a lot when they heard something really interesting or difficult, they would say, heavy man, heavy. That's exactly the meaning of the Hebrew word, translated glory, sometimes translated honor. It means that which is heavy. And I indeed tell you, our blessed Lord is a heavy doctrine. It is a heavy truth about the wonderful glory of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. 1 Chronicles 29:13 says, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Psalm 138:5 says, great is the glory of the Lord. Psalm 29:3 speaks of the God of glory. Psalm 57, twice in that chapter, says his glory is above the earth. In Psalm 113, verse 4, it says his glory is above the heavens. We read 40 times, Kabod Yahweh, the glory of the Lord. And according to Psalm 104, verse 31, that glory of God Almighty will endure forever, praise the Lord. The glory of God is who God is, but sometimes manifested in spectacular ways. Psalm 145. Follow along as we read. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor, our word is there, the glorious glory, a play on the word glory, to emphasize it all the more, glory that is glorious, of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty, the glory of his majesty, says some, the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endureth through all generations. The Lord upholdeth all who fall and raiseth up those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their food or meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh or near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And all God's people said, if you can't get excited, maybe you're sick, dead, carnal, I don't know what's the matter with you, but come alive. The Lord is glorious. His power is over all. His glory is above everything. And let's take a moment now just to praise him in prayer. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for what we have read. For you are indeed the God of glorious majesty. We will speak and talk of your glory to all generations. You alone, Lord, deserve all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the worship of our hearts. God, I pray that you'd help every one of us here to understand the glory of our God. And those who have not bowed the knee to him may recognize that one day every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is a Lord to the glory of God the Father. O God, open up our minds and hearts, we pray. In the blessed name of our Messiah, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, God's glory is certainly a spectacular thing. It refers to his attributes and his abilities, and there's no way in this one message that we can cover the material. I've already read a number of verses. Don't be alarmed. I believe in reading as much Bible as I possibly can in a message. Some of you know that. I was in a conference in Iowa, and a man heard me do this, and he never even found the first reference. He was still hunting in his Bible. By the end of it, he came up to me and said, "You ever fed hogs?" I said, "No, sir, I never had." He said, "Well, I didn't think so. We don't dump the whole load on them at once." But I want you to know that when we read God's Word, that's the only time you know that I'm right. It's very important to know the Word of God. So we're going to look at the glory of God, especially as it relates to the people of Israel. Is there one thing that Israel really needs? And all there is, same need that you have, and that's to give glory unto the God of Israel. This is so important to understand. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Why? Because they're murderers? Because they're adulterers? Because they're lying? No. The Bible says all have sinned because they come short of the glory of God. You see, friends, we're not God, and neither do we glorify God. We glorify ourselves, and that's the root of the sin problem that leads to all kinds of tragedies, such as the breaking of the commandments of God. For sin is indeed the transgression of God's law. God's glory is very important. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is not a small subject. This is the heart and soul of what it is to be a believer. In fact, in describing believers even in the future tribulation period, it says of them, they are those who fear God and give glory to God. The very phrase from a Jewish perspective of giving glory to the God of Israel is a statement that you believe in the God of Israel. So it's extremely important. I want to talk to you, if you're taking notes, about seven ways in which that wonderful glory of God is manifested or revealed or understood by us. Let's start by turning in our Bibles to Psalm 19, verse 1. When God reveals His glory to His people, how did He do it? How did He manifest the fact that His glory is unsearchable and His ways past finding out? How does the One who fills the universe with His presence localize Himself enough so that we can understand something about Him? Yes, God is bigger than anyone has ever conceived. God is bigger than this universe, and He fills all of it with His presence, but is never to be identified with it. God is holy, meaning He's separate from that which He created, and separate, of course, from everything that is sinful, that falls short of His marvelous majesty and glory. How does God reveal His glory? First of all, in His power. In His power. You see, God showed us His glory when He made the heavens and earth. And what does man do? All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Instead of honoring the God of creation, we water it down and exchange that into something we have designed. My friends, we read in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament or the expanse of the sky showeth His handiwork. It's the work of His hands. In Romans, please, chapter 1, turn in your Bibles to Romans 1. We see the height of man's pride and arrogance. We see the nature of man's sin as he looks at the glory of God in creation. And anyone who has studied outer space is indeed overwhelmed with the majesty and greatness. Years ago, before we had the technology, we would see only the stars in the sky that were merely a drop in the bucket compared to our whole system called the Milky Way. We know there are millions, yes, billions of stars in it. Yet this is only one galaxy among scores of them that have come to us through modern technology and our telescopic ability. The truth of the matter is outer space is beyond any human's ability to comprehend it. And to argue that it exploded by some sort of eternal chemicals and caused all the beautiful mathematical design of the universe is ridiculous and the height of man's pride and ignorance. No, it didn't start with a big bang. It started with the eternal God, a God of design, a God of power, one who could do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. How we need to know the God of glory and His power. Romans 1 tells us the tragic story of what man does. I read in verse 20, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain or empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Man has done this continually. He doesn't want to believe in God. He doesn't want to be accountable to anybody. But the whole universe speaks of a creator. The whole universe and its design and its majesty, its greatness, its mathematical genius speaks of one with the intelligence and the ability to create it, something man has never been able to do. We learn two things by looking at the universe about God's glory. One, we learn that He's eternal. He's eternal. Whoever made this had to exist before it was created, if He indeed made it. And secondly, we learn He is a God of power. that his glory refers to his power. Because whoever did it is bigger than you and I. Amen? When was the last time you made a galaxy? When was the last time you made a tree or a mountain? Listen, my friends, God has revealed his glory by his power in creation. You want to know what we should do about it? Turn to Revelation chapter 4, please. Revelation chapter 4. I am here not to entertain you. I am here to exalt the living God. I'm here to make you go out of here today and not say anything about the speaker, but to say everything about the God the speaker was talking about. I'm here to tell you about God, how great he is, how powerful he is. And the next time you wonder whether he's listening, think again. The next time you wonder where he knows what's going on in your life, think again. The next time you think he can't handle your big problem, think again. God has revealed his glory in his marvelous power. Here's what we should do about it. Revelation 4, verse 9. When those beasts are living creatures, they are cherubim angels, worship leaders in heaven. When they give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders who represent the body of Christ, the church in heaven during the tribulation, they fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And all God's people said. Anytime you hear in this message about God, and you know it's the truth of God's word, let it rip. With your own mouth, praising the Lord. That's what God told you to do. Amen? You say, well, what if a person next to me is offended? Then say it louder. Let the Lord be praised. There is a second way in which God has revealed his marvelous glory, not only in his power in creation, but in his very presence among his people Israel. Turn, please, in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 40. This is greatly misunderstood by a lot of people, both Jewish and Gentile. When Moses went up the true Mount Sinai, which is not where it's presently honored, but is in fact in Saudi Arabia in the land of Midian where God said it was, when Moses went up to that mount, he got instructions not only about the commandments, but also about building a tabernacle, a place where God could reveal his glory. Jewish people, perhaps you've heard of this word, speak of the Shekinah glory of God, from Shekan, meaning to dwell. That the infinite God who fills the universe and actually dwells beyond it, for his glory is above the heavens, that infinite God localized himself in a manifestation by being present in an actual building in which he would show his people somewhat of his greatness and his glory. In Exodus 40, as the tabernacle is completed, something amazing occurs. Verse 34, Exodus 40, 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, saturated the place. Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Go to the book of Leviticus, just to the right, a few pages to chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. And look, please, at verse 22 to 24. It says of the high priest Aaron, Leviticus 9, 22 to 24. Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. There came a fire out from before the Lord, consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. You ask how to respond to the glory of the Lord? There it is. We see first a cloud, now fire. as God is revealing His glory in specific manifestations as He makes His presence known among His people.
Amazing. Thank you, David. David is back tomorrow with even more of this message for us. He's also back, though, after the break to wrap up our time together here, so keep it at Hope for Today. Before that, let me tell you more about our current monthly resource package. Now, in honor of the 65th anniversary of the Land of Israel, we have put together a package that illuminates what the Bible teaches about God's nature, plan, and love for all of us, and especially for the nation of Israel. Now, you're going to be hearing some of these messages in our current radio series on Israel, God, and the Bible. That's right. Our current series that we're just kicking off is also a part of this month's special package, which we are offering to you on three MP3 CDs covering 22 messages. We have titles here like Will Israel Survive as a Nation? God is Able to Graft Them In? Who Are the Children of Israel and Israel and the Will of God? 22 messages of our current series on Israel, God, and the Bible on three MP3 CDs. Normally, this package would run you around $110, but for this month and this month only, here in May, we're able to offer it to you for only $25, plus shipping and a bit of tax if you're in California. And you can order right now by calling us at 1-800-75-BIBLE, 1-800-75-242-53. Are you in Canada? You can order by calling us at 1-888-75-BIBLE. Or you can order online at davidhocking.org. Now, David loves hearing from you. You can connect with him when you write to Hope for Today at Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. Or in Canada, write to us at Box 15011, RPO Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, BC, V2S 8P1. We also have some other great resources for you, like David's latest commentary on the book of Romans. It's titled The Gospel of Jesus. It's yours right now for only $20 plus shipping, and if you're in California, tax as well. Order when you call or visit us online. As I promised, now, David is back to wrap up our time together. David?
Well, folks, now in our message series on Israel, God, and the Bible, it's like we've taken a step into the very heart of heaven's glory and the glory of God Himself. That glory was seen in creation, for the heavens declare the glory of God. I hope you're following all of this. This particular message, it should bring much blessing to your heart. The glory of God was seen in that cloud. Guided Israel by day and a fire by night. And when the tabernacle was set up, they couldn't hardly minister in it because of the thickness of the cloud called the glory of God. We call it Shekinah, meaning to dwell. The glory of God was manifested to the children of Israel in the past, even when their conduct and behavior was not what God wanted. God's glory was there when those miraculous things happened in Egypt, and when they crossed that Gulf of Aqaba and escaped the wrath of Pharaoh and his army and landed over in Midian and Saudi Arabia of today. And the fact is that all those events that are described in the Bible of God taking care of His people in the wilderness, feeding them with water out of the rock for their thirst, quail. Well, I had to have a lot of quail, I'm telling you. There were 605,000 men, not counting the women and children, trying to make it through the desert for 40 years. Wow. Do you understand? What we're talking about is that God, the God of Israel, who calls Him that, He calls Himself the God of Israel over 200 times, calls Himself the Lord God of Israel 108 times. He doesn't say that about any other nation or group of people on earth. Wow. Israel's the apple of His eye. And they've seen His glory. And I pray that you will see it also. God bless you.
David, thank you so much. My friends, make sure you come back tomorrow because David's got more on Israel and the glory of God, and you don't want to miss it. In the meantime, remember you can reach us by calling 1-800-75-BIBLE. We'd love to hear from you. If you're in Canada, call us at 1-888-75-BIBLE. If you would like to drop a note to David or maybe send a question his way, you can send an email to info@davidhocking.org or write a letter. Address that to Hope for Today at Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. If you're in Canada, write to us at Box 15011, RPO 7 Oaks, Abbotsford, BC, V2S 8P1. That's our time together today. Come join us again tomorrow, won't you, right here at Hope for Today.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. We could never pay, but from my heart I'd like to say
if you would like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month, please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@nsearch.com. That's G-L-E-N-N at N as in Nancy, S-E-A-R-C-H.com, or contact him through nsearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at InSearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting InSearch Radio in our efforts reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.
You're on the radio, only God knows where you're headed.
Welcome to the Jim and Amy radio program. We sure are glad to have you with us. please enjoy the music of Jim and Amy White and, of course, the Johnson family. So we hope you enjoy the program. God bless you. Hey, welcome once again to the Jim and Amy Radio Show.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. Okay, so Amy's back with us. She was out with her sisters last week, but praise God. Now, we haven't had our baby yet, although the baby is due.
I'm giving this baby, if there was any way to sign an eviction notice and say get out, now would be the time.
I love it. Okay, so what we're going to do is finish Ride of Your Life album this week. And so we got as far as the actual title song, Ride of Your Life, so that brings us to...
Can't You See Them.
Can't You See Them.
Actually, that song had been written by my sister Jennifer, who we had pretty much guest as a guest.
Right. Yeah.
And
now she's Jennifer Whitlock.
Yeah, now she's Jennifer Whitlock.
Thank you, Jenny.
But we had just, like she had talked about, we would go out to pretty much the middle of nowhere and kind of clear our heads, get rid of our cell phones, disconnect from everything, and really just pour ourselves into that album or certain songs, and just trying to just collaborate. And I remember Jennifer, in like so many other times, comes out of her room and she's like, "Oh, I wrote a song!" And I was always jealous because I would try and try and try, but no song. She had written this one, just thinking about how when you're sitting in the church pews or wherever you go, because we would travel and sing so much, and, you know, you don't truly know who knows the Lord and has a personal relationship with the Lord. And in the song it says, can't you see them? They're dying and they're sitting next to you in the church pew at your table, you know? And there are just so many things that we just don't know. And it's kind of, I guess, kind of an eye-opener to just look at life that way, just not knowing who you're sitting next to, the people you're across from, the people you're at church with, because just because someone's at church does not mean that they're a believer and that they know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior and that they have that eternal security, you know? You don't know that, and just looking at every moment in life in that situation where you're at, just to reach out to them and love on them,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and so
true.
I know that's where she came up with this song,
wow.
Can't You See Them?
Wow.
Hearts are yearning to be filled. They've been tricked, they've been deceived. Don't know what to believe. They're searching for the answer, and they're running out of time. So wake up, look around you. They're dying to be saved. You've got the answers they need. Wake up, look around you. They're empty and afraid. You know Jesus, why not show them the way? Can't you see them? They are searching for the peace that you have found. Each new method tried and tested leaves them sad and unfulfilled. They've been tricked, they've been deceived. Don't know what to believe. They're searching for the answer, and they're running out of time. Can't you see them? Don't you see them? Won't you see them? And they're crying out for help. Can't you see them? Don't you see them? Won't you see them? And they're crying out for help. Can't you see them? Oh, can't you see them?
Now can't you see them? So, mending fences. This is one of my favorite ones. I love it because mending fences. I just love how it flows, you know. Tell me about that one a little bit.
Well, I feel bad because everything we've done so far is just me talking. But mending fences was pretty much just that. You go through life and you hurt people. And you say things and you do things that you regret.
Come on, you don't do that, honey.
I wish. but there are so many times where you do it, even when you're pretty much just not thinking. Or you are, and it's purposeful. But there's just so many times in your life where you really do hurt someone. And it takes getting out of yourself and humbling yourself. And mending those fences, you know?
Yeah.
And not necessarily just with someone else, but mending the fences with the Lord, because there's so many times that we turn our back on Him, and it just takes complete surrender and humility on our part, really, to mend those fences, because He's just there, ready, willing, and waiting. He's just waiting on us, and that's what takes the time. So it was just collaborative for all of us, just to mend those fences, and whether it's spiritual, whether it's a family or a friend or someone you don't know, or you name it, maybe something just between you and the Lord, or just an emotional thing, knowing us ladies. But it was a fun song, and I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a neat metaphor.
Things to explain, since you've been calling my name. I have been turning my back, just hoping your voice would go away. A whisper in the morning, a knock upon my door, but I turned a deaf ear, 'cause I thought I knew what you had in store for me. So I'm breaking down walls and I'm mending fences. Sorry for not listening to you. Giving up my will, 'cause I know you're my best in mind. Take this child, I'm listening. Bring joy to my heart, 'cause I'm living the right way. And I cannot wait for this journey to start. You bring the
satisfaction
I've been
looking for.
Now I'm living for Jesus. And I'm running through that open door to you. Sorry for not listening to you. Giving up my will, 'cause I know you're my best in mind. Breaking down walls and I'm mending fences. Sorry for not listening.
best name to you. Giving up my will, cause I know you're my best in mind. Take this child. Spend so many years chasing dreams, the Father fulfill me. Ignore his loud voice till I couldn't even hear it at all. But you might see it now every morning. I only need ask you. Every day that you've given is a chance to make things new. So I'm breaking down walls and I'm mending fences. Sorry for not listening to you. Giving up my will, cause I know you're my best in mind. Take this child. I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening.
All right. So we're moving along. Wash Over Me. In fact, we'll do a couple of songs here. Wash Over Me and Let Me Bring Praise. What about that one? Let Me Bring Praise. Tell us about that one.
I'm pretty sure that was one that my dad had written more so than the rest of us. And he came up with pretty much the idea of just let me bring praise, let me bring glory, let me bring honor to you. And I guess that's, I feel silly. I feel like I repeat myself with just about every song because so many of the songs were just really an outcrying of someone's heart.
Good.
And what they're going through.
Yeah.
And
praise God. That seems to be the theme, though. I mean, when you sang at our church or even other churches that I've heard you girls at, it was just that because you got to see your hearts getting up. Let's just praise the Lord. We've got all of our junk. We bring it to the table, yeah. But let's just praise the Lord. That was neat, yeah.
Well, too, when you think about it, traveling in a car, a very small 15-passenger van seems like a big vehicle. But when you travel in it and there are 6 full-grown adults, 5 of which are women that are hormonal, it is a very, very small space. And when you, when you're family, there's just so many things that you just let slide, your attitude, fill in the blank. You're as human as it gets when you're in your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I know that there's so many times on the road and traveling where you get in your tiff, you get hurt about something, and it's stupid most of the time. But you have to fix it and deal with it, not just because you're getting up there to sing and you want to be a good testimony to people, but knowing that you have a clear heart and a clear conscience and a clear mind really does allow the Lord so much better to speak through you as you're up there. And sometimes He uses that trial of 15 minutes before a concert or 30 minutes before a concert to really lay something on your heart to speak that night and share for that. It doesn't matter if it's just one person. And sometimes it's good to get things off your chest and just share and be human and say, hey, we have flaws. Here we are. This is what we are. And I hope that you can be encouraged through our mistakes because everyone makes them.
Yeah. Praise God.
Another day. got some holes and it's wearing thin over me.
Drawn to what might be. Will I make the most of this new day? Put you first in all my ways and acknowledge you in all that I do.
Let me bring praise. Let me bring glory. Let me bring honor to you. You are my joy. You are my hope. You are the reason that I live. Let me bring praise.
Lord, you know my thoughts before I formed them. Nothing is hid from your view. I surrender my will to your heavenly plan, giving all of my heart to you.
Let me bring praise. Let me bring glory. Let me bring honor to you. You are my joy. You are my hope. You are the reason that I live. Let me bring praise.
You're the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the mighty rock of ages. You stick closer than a friend.
You're my shepherd, fortress, high tower, Jehovah's Jireh, Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, you're the King of Kings. Let me bring praise. Let me bring glory.
let me bring honor to you. You are my joy, you are my hope, you are the reason that I live. Let me bring praise, let me bring glory, let me bring honor to you. You are my joy, you are my hope, you are the reason that I live. Let me bring praise. Let me bring praise.
Okay, so now there's just three more on this album. The Wings of a Dove. I remember Jenny starting that one out. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. Some of those songs, you really get intimate. I mean, just listening to Jenny's lyrics or whatever. She really got intimate with, this is what it would have been amazing to be like with the Lord, you know. Oh, that I had that. Oh, I've liked this song a lot over the years. I've loved listening to it. So, Wings of a Dove.
Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away and be at rest. Listen to my prayer, O God. Listen to my plea. Hear me in this place and answer me. My thoughts, they trouble me, and the voice of my enemy calls out to pain me. That I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away and be at rest. You take me in your arms and hold me safe against your chest. To my prayer, O God. Listen to my plea. Hear me in this place and answer me. My heart, it cries for you, and all that is within needs your peace. Of a dove, I fly away and be at rest. You take me in your arms and hold me safe against your chest. Evening and morning, nighttime and noon, I'll cry to you, I'll cry to you. Evening and morning, nighttime and noon, I'll cry to you, I'll cry to you. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away. Be at rest.
If only we had those wings to fly away and be at rest in the arms of Jesus instead of here sometimes. You know, it's not always the case, and life is not always horrible and, oh, woe is me and poor me, but, you know, there are those times that you wish that you just could fly away and find peace and solace somewhere else, you know?
You know, that kind of ties into this next song, too, after Slow Down. And I like that, too, because it's like we're running this race. And as Paul says, run the race, you know,
with
fight
endurance.
The good fight. But don't forget to slow down and enjoy your family. Enjoy your church brothers and sisters. And enjoy what God has put before you, you know.
Yeah, I know with them. I feel so horrible because being a mom of toddlers now, just walking across the street to go to the playground takes so long because there's a stick and I have to pick up that stick. And then with that stick, I know I want to go to the slide or the swing, but this stick, I have to drag it and then I have to poke everything. And what would be the quickest jaunt to go play becomes this whole ordeal, and I get so frustrated because I'm just the kind of person that's just like, let's go, let's get there, let's do this. But I have to realize, and this song comes in play for someone like me, to really just slow down and enjoy these moments and not have, in pilot's terms, get-there-itis,
right?
Where you just have to get there.
Yeah. You know, that hits for me, too, because just having kids, toddlers, it forces you to slow down. It forces you to look at it at a different perspective, you know?
Honey, we're going to church. Get the kids ready.
Yeah, that changes things. And it does. It changes people. We have your cousins and even a couple that we've watched that's just, you watch how family values, it'll make or break you. Some people pick up and leave. But if it breaks you and it makes you the person you are, it'll change you for the better. I truly believe that. Having kids, this is what I have always seen. This is what God has shown me. Having kids is for our betterment. It's for our enjoyment. Because you don't usually, hardly anyone on this planet remembers when they were 1 or 2 years old.
Well, at least every detail.
You don't remember those things. But for the parents, we enjoy every minute of it. But it's for our enjoyment. It's our sandpaper, you know. The kids are our sandpaper to work on our lives. And we get to enjoy that.
Yeah, and it's a good thing the Lord made them cute when they're little because they really push on those buttons and you just have to look at that cute face and like, oh, okay.
You stay up till midnight and forget your morning prayer. You struggle through your busy day, don't give the Lord your care. And somewhere in the middle, on your hectic, hurried way, you forgot to talk to Jesus, to get on your knees and pray. You rushed them out of bed, you rushed them out the door. You rushed and get frustrated when they didn't do their chores. Somewhere in the middle of your hectic, hurried day, you forgot to listen to them, don't know what they've got to say. Slow down your hurried day. Your time is not a race. Today may be all you have to show them that you care. Slow down. Oh, slow down. Forgot to write to her again. Her birthday was last week. Not a smile as you passed. pass her by, not a kiss upon her cheek. You used to take the time to listen and to care, but it's so hard to stop and talk, the time just isn't there.
Slow down your hurry pace. Take your time, it's not a race. Today may be all you have to show them that you care. Slow down.
Close this here with I'll Fly Away. How far we get on this next album, because we're going to finish the program with another album that we did. Amy and I were on it together,
yeah.
Called A New Song Rising.
Well, along with us was Amanda Kate, which is Kathy Gibson's daughter,
right?
And Jim Pittman.
Another wonderful singer, wonderful voice,
mm-hmm.
And we shared fellowship with him at Calvary Costa Mesa.
We did I guess you'd say Jim Pittman, myself, and then my husband, Jim White, were pretty much the core group that were there almost all the time.
Yeah.
You know, not just because Jim worked there, but, you know, it's something we both really love and enjoy. So, of course, being up here where it's completely the opposite, you know, I know the Lord's going to bring bring people along, events, but open doors. It's just a matter of when, and, you know, knowing that we have babies coming and well, baby one and all of that, I know that just a rest is really good for our family right now.
Really good. So on that note, Revelation song. Just enjoy, sit back, and enjoy my wife's beautiful lyrics and beautiful just the way she brings this song about.